Good morning, July 10th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's briefing centers on how harm reduction is showing up on the ground, from Revere using opioid settlement money with local businesses to three SAMHSA funding deadlines coming up on July 16th. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news coverage, WBUR reports that Revere, Massachusetts is using opioid settlement money to enlist businesses in the fight against overdoses. That is a concrete example of settlement funds moving into public-facing overdose response. Filter reports that in Virginia, state law appears to leave marijuana with no penalties for the next year. Nationally, KFF takes a look at 1115 waiver evaluations for Medicaid payments to Institutions of Mental Disease, or IMDs, for substance use disorder. That is one to watch for anyone tracking how states are using Medicaid flexibility for treatment access. A related international item from Filter looks at the UK debate over ketamine status, while peers are building the harm reduction response. And the Charlotte Observer reports that the U.S. has made available $281 million in grants for addiction and mental health programs. In the Social Pulse, one post grounded in lived experience comes from the Humble Lion on X, who says they carry naloxone to save people's lives on the street from opioid overdoses, while running a nonprofit that assists homeless people with care packages and provides resources for free counseling, detox, rehab, AA, and ID recovery. On the innovation side, the New York State Department of Health posted on Blue Sky that a new synthetic opioid has been detected in New York State. It is N-propionitrile brorphine, and the department says it is estimated to be more potent than fentanyl. The post also stresses that harm reduction strategies, including drug checking, save lives. That is a clear signal for outreach teams to update alerts and local messaging quickly. Another Blue Sky post, from Sandro Galea, wait, no source says Sandilich MD. Let's avoid name expansion. From Sandilich MD, highlights fentanyl test strips in a vending machine as a way for someone to check their supply before using. The post adds that harm reduction works by meeting people where they are, and says Narcan co-location matters too. There is also an example of opposition messaging in the discourse space. Sean D. Neves on X criticizes support for Housing First, describing it as housing without consequences, treatment, or testing, and frames that as part of the status quo. This is the kind of criticism harm reduction and housing advocates may continue seeing in public debate. A few research items are also worth noting. One study in the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs is titled, "Do You Guys Tell Anybody?" It explores the allocation and implementation of opioid settlement funds, along with reduced access to health vending machines for people who use drugs. That pairing puts funding decisions and service access in the same frame. Another paper in Harm Reduction Journal is a scoping evidence review on the prevention and treatment of opioid overdose. And in substance use and misuse, a study examines social determinants of health and fentanyl overdose mortality across USS counties using XG Boost and SHAP analysis to identify silent risk counties and treatment deserts. That could be especially relevant for targeting outreach in places that may be underestimated by more visible overdose indicators.
On the policy front, Hawaii has a measure concerning complex patients with two or more diagnoses that include substance use disorders, mental health disorders, or chronic physical illnesses. In California, there is also a public health measure focused on substance use disorder. At the local level, Nashville, Tennessee has a resolution on comprehensive educational services focused on opioid misuse, harm reduction strategies, and safe practices for youth. Nashville also passed a resolution commemorating the installation of the 400th One Box in Nashville and Davidson County, and recognizing the history and growth of the One Box Naloxone program. Milestones like that can help show how naloxone access programs are scaling at the city level. Finally, a few current funding opportunities are open through the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and the deadline is coming up soon on July 16, 2026. One is Preventing Youth Overdose: Treatment, Recovery, Education, Awareness, and Training. Another is Rural Opioid Technical Assistance Centers. And a third is Tribal Opioid Response. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. Those July 16th deadlines are close, so teams considering any of those opportunities may want to move quickly. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.